For those of you who may not know me, because I'm not up here all that often, I'm Pastor Nick from Calvary here, and Pastor Mike was here earlier. Pastor Diana is in with the children, and Pastor Tim and Donna, unfortunately, are under the weather today. So I'm going to give you the message today. The title that I came up with was, What Does God Have Planned For You In The New Year? Well, it's New Year, right? So I thought that would fit. But I'm going to give you the text, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. Also, I didn't have time to do the slides because I found out late yesterday, so I guess I'll be the only entertainment today. So, but the text is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And let's pray. Lord God, we cling to those words, Lord. We ask that you would guide us and direct us through this new year, Lord, that minds and hearts are being prepared now to hear what your word has to say to them. I pray that my words would be your words now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, he does have a plan for you. He has a plan for me. But the key is you have to act on the plan, okay? Because he's going to give you a plan, he's going to give you a vision, but you need to act on it. What happens many times is people will get a word from the Lord and then they'll say, oh, that's impossible. And I have worked for years to get the word impossible out of my vocabulary. I really have. I took care of luck, accident, and coincidence. He really helped me with that. But every once in a while, I'll still say that. But then I changed it from that's impossible to that's not possible. But you know what? That's the same thing, and God's not pleased. So what we're going to do is we're going to find out that when it's impossible, what you do and what I do is the possible. Then let God take it from there, okay? Because people will say, well, that's impossible. Well, then you do the possible. Well, what's that? Talk it over with God. In other words, there's things that we've had impossible tasks here as a church body, if you can use the word impossible. And guess what? We did the possible, and God took care of the rest. And the reason that he does that is because it's clearly in his word, Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing includes a lot, doesn't it? Nothing is impossible with God. So when I look at something and I say to my wife, you know, well, that's not possible, and then she gives me the look, and then, you know, I snap out of it and I go, well, it just seems really hard. And then she says, well, what do you always say? Then that hurts, right? You know, so you do the possible. You do whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is that God is directing you to do, because it's really good for us to believe. You get your energy from that, okay? Faith is essential. Without faith, you can't even please God. However, as most of you know, faith without works is what? Dead. So in other words, oh, I got faith. Are you acting on it, Nick? No. Well, then it's nothing. Faith without works is dead, right from God's words. So we need to exercise our faith. And we need to hear from God. And people, in fact, I mentioned it in Sunday school, that people will come into the office and they'll say, well, God's not talking to me. And I say, oh, contraire, because I learned a lesson. Do you remember Bill Hybels, The Power of a Whisper, small groups? Changed my life, changed so many people in this church. They came and they testified to me about it. God does talk to you. The thing is, you have to listen. Amen. See, and the way that I did my devotions was I talked a lot. You know, you probably can't figure that out, right? But, you know, I talked a lot. Oh, Lord, yeah. And, you know, and then you know, so-and-so's having a little problem. I was a good intercessor. But then I would ask him a question, and then I'd keep talking. And then all of a sudden, I would tell Jill, this got me in a lot of trouble. I would say, why don't you talk to God? Because you seem to have a better connection than I do. And that didn't go well at all. And then the Bill Hybels thing kind of brought it all to light. Ask, and then listen, and people will hear if they listen. So what I did is I jotted down from God's word and from experiences several ways that you might hear from God. And by the way, you will hear differently than me, maybe. I'll tell you which one I hear most of the time. I'll share with you which one Pastor Tim tells me he gets most of the time. But the first one is audible. Words, you'll hear words, okay? I don't do that. I don't hear words, okay? Other people do. They hear words. Praise God. God spoke in the Bible, did he not? In other words, so if he wants to speak to you, He'll speak to you, okay? So if you hear a word and it's not contrary to God's word, really pay attention to that. So, oh, wow, that's really neat, okay? God can speak to you audibly. The second way is what Pastor Tim says so many times, pictures. He says, I see pictures, okay? I don't, but, you know. So Pastor Tim hears from the Lord with a snapshot, with a picture, okay? Maybe you do the same way, okay? God can speak to you that way. Maybe he's not going to speak in words. Maybe he's just going to say, here's a picture of what I want you to do. I remember, and the lady is here, she saw this building site. I remember it, you know. And I thought, wow, saw it, not kind of saw it. Okay, so that was an example to me. He is speaking in different ways. Then there's dreams and visions, okay? And by God's word, it says the young will have visions and the old will dream dreams. So I must be dreaming dreams because I'm not young anymore, only in my behavior. But so you can have visions, you can have dreams. You decide which one it is. It really doesn't matter. But I had one a couple months ago. I think I might have shared that the last time I was up here. And it was the first time for me. But wow, is that something? Because he always speaks to me in the next one, which I'll get to. But I saw it. I saw it. And I thought, my gosh, this is it. And then I got real quiet and I just soaked it in. And then the people that were with me, they got mad because I wasn't sharing the vision because I was enjoying it. This is, wow, this is God talking to me in a vision. No words at all. And yet I knew what he was saying. He was saying, I got it. No words. And you know what? He got it. What I went in for prayer came about. By the way, we still do miracles. God does miracles. I have that slip every once in a while. We still believe in miracles, and they're happening a lot. Okay, what's another way God might speak to you? This is how he speaks to me. Impressions, okay? I get impressions that are just like, well, I'm not that bright, you know? So I'll be driving somewhere, and I pray for people, you know? People pray for me. That's what we do. Right? We lift each other up in prayer. So I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, an impression comes in my mind that is not what I'm thinking about. And as long as that impression does not go contrary to God's word, then I take it. And I've had people, this was really uncomfortable. I had people come up to me and say, I want you to pray for me. I said, okay, for what? I'm not going to tell you. Oh, that was way out of my comfort zone. And it took me two weeks of praying every day. Lord, I don't know why this person asked me this. I don't think I do this that well. And it happened. Impression. Two words, an impression. So I go up to this person on a Sunday morning, and I said, this is all I got. And I'm really sorry that this is all I got. And I said those two words, and this person reached out and gave me a hug and left. And I said, wait. What does it mean? And I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But the person was happy, and I said, thank you, Jesus. You know, but don't be afraid of hearing from God. Don't be a stick in the mud like I was for all those years. Talk to him. Ask him to talk to you. You will be amazed what he'll tell you. And the other one, this may not be all inclusive, but the other one is somebody else might be sent to tell you something. Okay, that's a word from another person. And I've had that happen to me, and I guess I was the deliverer that time. I think that's only happened twice in my life. But when people come to you with a word, then you weigh it against God's word, and then you make sure that the person is one in whom you allow to speak into your life, okay? Because you just don't want to get bad information. That's just a caution. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. But there are people right now, as I'm looking, there are people here that I welcome to talk into my life. There are people here that if they talk, I listen, okay? And then I go with what they say. I talk to God about it. And I want to know what is God saying. Especially with New Year's. You know how New Year's resolutions are not kept, right? They do a survey every year, and I think it's 8 to 10%. I don't know what it'll come out this year. People do not keep New Year's resolutions. We as Christians should get the vision and keep it. In other words, let's not worry about all these other things that are out there. You know, they're there. They're a problem. They're troublesome. But we want to be about God's work in the new year. And so the challenge of today's message is just that. When you hear a word from God, it's best that you respond. When he says go, you go. When he says stop, you stop. When he says wait, you wait. Well, how do I know when he says it? Ask him. I got instances where with my son, he told my son, don't go there. This was a long time ago. He was just a little kid. And he said, don't go there. And so he stopped and he didn't go. And things went really bad that night at that place. And he comes home and he goes, oh my God. And I go, that's the Holy Spirit was talking to you. And you finally got it. Now he gets it pretty good. You know, I think he gets a little better than Dad. But in other words, pay attention to what God is telling you. You need a vision. You need a mission. You need a goal for this new year. Come on, it's only a couple days old. Let's get with it here, okay? And here's what God's word says. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You just don't do well without a vision. As one famous person, I think it was Zig Ziglar, I know him real well, he says, you got to have goals. You got to have something to do. But you base them on what God is telling you to do. Then you got a real good chance. I share with people all the time in the office, when I give you the word of God, I'm 100% right. When I give you my opinion, you got a 50-50 chance. I mean, because how can you be wrong if you're giving them God's word? So if God speaks a word to you, and it's going to be really hard, and I don't know if I can do this, you go do it. You do the possible. Do what you can. I've had more people here do something that they said, I never thought I could do that. Yeah, I know that feeling. I never thought I could do a couple things too. But when God says, move, you move. Blessings always follow obedience. So we obey God. We seek God, we obey him, and the blessings come. And sometimes the blessings aren't, you know, going to be monetary. Jill and I have said this many times, to have the four kids and the nine grandkids, and they're healthy, and they're serving the Lord, that, how do you put a price tag on that? I mean, yeah, I would like a little coming, you know, fall off the tree, you know, show up in the mailbox, but it, you know what, I don't pray that. I just pray for health, and I pray for spiritual blessings. Because there's so much. I mean, I can't take any of that with me when I go to be with Jesus. You don't see U-Hauls behind hearses. You know, you can't. It isn't going to happen. So do it. You know, pay ahead. Pay ahead. You know, because when you get there, you're not going to need any money. My gosh, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. We need to get our priorities straight. And it's God first. Okay? God first. That kind of answers it. Seek God first. Do what God is telling you to do. We get mixed up between needs and wants sometimes. Okay, like, well, I really need this. You know, I'll say that, and then I'll think about it and go, no, I don't think I need that. Well, God supplies all of our needs, his word says, right? And needs, what do you need? I'm not saying he doesn't do wants. I'll read a scripture in a moment where he can definitely give you the desire of your heart. Okay, but he is the giver. We're the askers. So make sure you know your needs from your wants. I have people tease me all the time about that old beat-up black Explorer at the last parking stall up by the light. And they go, well, can't you afford something better? And I go, it gets me where I want to go. And Larry Burkett would tell people, you're not satisfied when you start comparing. You know, like somebody pulls up, like I'm at a stoplight and somebody pulls up beside me and I go, whoa, that's nice. Lord, isn't that nice? And he never, Now that he never answers. He just says, when the light turns green, Nick, just go get that out of your... You're not getting that, okay? He doesn't say that, but that's what's happened. He doesn't... I never got that, okay? Here's what God's word says, okay? James 4, 2 and 3. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It is not wrong to ask for what you need. God is saying, you don't have it because you don't ask. Ah, but then he clarifies it and he goes, and when you ask with wrong motives. So, no. Okay? So where does God always look? So you're not going to hide it from him. If you got an ulterior motive or you're trying to sneak something by God, forget it. It isn't going to happen. He knows everything. He's everywhere all the time. You're going to try to run away from him. Wherever you get, he's already there waiting for you. So just talk to God. Ask him what you need. There's so many promises in his word that all we have to do is just reach it. Just claim it. Say, God, you said that you can do this, and I'm hanging on to your word, and I'm waiting on you. They that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Isaiah, because I'm thinking, I don't like to wait. Surprise, I don't like to wait, okay? Patience, one time I prayed for patience. I'll never do it again. I advise the youth group not to do it. I advise the people in Sunday school. Don't pray for patience because there's one way to get patience. You know what that is? Go through trials. And he put me 1, 2, 3 right through them. And I was not enjoying that. There's a lot of promises in God's word. Go after them. Take them. Claim them. Wait for him to deliver. About the desires of your heart now. Okay, we know we can ask for our needs. And we know that he supplies it out of his bounty. But he also, on occasion, can give you the desires of your heart, okay? John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it will be done for you. But what were the two things that he said? If you abide in me, and my words in you, now go ahead and ask. So how's our walk going here, okay? Am I in God's word? Am I walking his word? When people see me, do they see the light? Okay, in other words, you just, well, I are one, so he should give me. No, that's not what he's saying here. You abide in me. My word abides in you. Now, go ahead and ask. Lots of things that we need to do to be on the right page with God. But you know what another thing is? Sometimes he won't answer it how I want it answered. He won't answer it when I want. In fact, he never. I'll just be right honest with you. He never answers it the way I asked him to or when I wanted him to. And I used to have this bad habit. I think I was transparent with you once before. But I would write stuff down, and then I'd go like this. And then my wife would walk in, and then I'd get another lecture. But, you know, I said, I'm just trying to help. And one time I went so far as, this goes way back now. One time I went so far as to say, I'm a math geek, and math is a perfect science. So therefore, this should be a help. And she said, like God needs your math. She's right there. You can ask her. But anyway. And you know how tall I felt? Like, I don't know. God don't need that. But anyways, in our humanness, we step out of line every now and then. Sometimes we need to wait. Wait to see what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, and all that. But another thing that we have to be very, very careful of is that when we go after God's favor, which I want for everybody here in the new year, we seek God's favor. We want his grace, his mercy, his blessings. But you know what? We seek the blesser more than the blessing. I'll tell you, you seek him more than the stuff. You seek the giver more than the gift. It's, well, I can't tell you how much that meant to me when one of the elder saints in this church told me that about 20, 25 years ago. said, Nick, you got it all wrong. You're chasing after the stuff instead of the God who provides this. So then I said, okay, I can back this bus up. I'll go right back. Then I found that he bestowed the blessings, the grace, the mercy on, because I was now going after him. I'm seeking him with all my heart. He's number one. I don't care what people call me at work anymore. I don't, and by the way, I don't. 10 years ago, I was such a wuss. And then, you know, and now I don't frankly care. And then I have people coming up. I told you about the lady with the knee, remember, last year when I had the pulpit? And she asked me, hey, I'm having surgery on my knee. Nick, will you pray? And I said, well, we have to lock the door and shut the lights off. I can't pray at the work site. Oh, that's fine. Okay, so I did. I prayed with her. In fact, another person at work stayed to pray with me. I thought, whoa, we're having church here. And so we prayed for her, and she gave me a hug, and she had the surgery. And then she came back to work, and she goes, there was a feeling there. What was that? And I said, that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay, let's fast forward now. In November, just before Thanksgiving, I get a call and I can see who it is. It's my old friend. I haven't been there for months and months. And I don't want to say her name. And so she says, Nick, I'm having my other knee done. So I knew. So I said, so? And she says, I want you to come to the house the week of this and pray. I did. 22-minute drive. What's the big deal? So I drove to her house. Couldn't even stand sitting in a Lazy Boy. So I just leaned over the back of the Lazy Boy, and I put my hand on her shoulder, and I did the same prayer that I did the last time. She had her surgery, and the next day, she called me, and she goes, wow, I'm really doing good. And then 3 days later, she says, I'm walking. And by the way, I didn't do anything. I just put my arm around the back of her chair, touched her shoulder, and prayed over her in faith that will happen, because God can do it. Nick can't do it, but God can do it. And things like that, if you let your light shine, people will see it. It may take a long time. It could take months or years, but eventually they will see your spiritual fruit. And they'll say, I want that. Watch. Do it, though. But really exercise it. In the new year, get out there and show them what you believe. We're going to go through seasons in this year coming up, okay? Everybody goes through seasons. And there will be ups and downs. There will be peaks and valleys, okay? There's going to be highs and lows. But you know what I found out? That in the valleys that I don't like to be there, I learn the most. Okay, because when you're on the peak, it's this is good. Then when you get in the valley, you're going, oh, man, I don't know. But the thing is, you're learning to trust, you're learning to stand in faith during those times. And God's word says in Ephesians 3:20, listen to the adjectives here. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly. Wow, I think he's going to pull me through this, don't you? And you know, I got to tell you something. How many long years we've been together. I don't know the number of years. We've been together a long time. And he's gotten us through every one. Everyone. And some were not fun. Some took a long time, 44. Is that right? Okay. And so anyway, and every time he's gotten us through, and some were some terrible stretches that we learned that, boy, he can still do what his word says he can do. So when it's going good, give a shout out to God. Let him know. You get a raise, you get a promotion, thank you, Jesus. Something good happens, thank you, Jesus. You fall off your snowmobile and don't get hurt like I did yesterday, thank you, Jesus. I shouldn't have been driving there anyways, but, you know, I can show you. It hurt, right? But anyway, Laying there in the snow with a snowmobile on me, trying to get it off me, praying, oh God, don't let this leg be broken. Oh God, don't let this leg. So anyway, okay, we'll move on. But anyways, you got to pray. Prayer works. All right. Now, okay, you're talking about the peaks. Now, what about in the valleys? That's when you hang on. Having done all to stand, we do what? We stand. Stand. That's after the armor of God. You read that. Having done all, I stand. You can go hand in hand. Put one hand in God's, one hand in your wife's, your children's, your situation, whatever, and just hang on and watch. Watch. Wait and see. Joel 2:25. This was spoken over me at Kearney Ave. I don't know how many years ago this was. Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. It didn't look real good when that was spoken over Jill and I. It was spoken over me, and I ran home and told Jill. It happened. We got a house. We got a car. There were some tough times, okay? He restored it. Yeah, did we have to work? Yeah, did we have to scrimp and save? Yeah. Oh, by the way, do that financial piece. I'm telling you, we did two regulars and a legacy. Completely changed our lives. Completely. You know, are you that smart? No, I did what that guy that's screaming, chasing the gazelles tells me to do, you know. In fact, we have on Jill's desk at home a gazelle with the word gazelle behind it sitting right there. I don't know how many years that's been there, but you got to go after it. Get yourself out of debt. But God's word even cautions us about being in debt. Well, it's not like, oh, that's good stuff. No, God is telling us, get out of debt. Did you know that God is storing up blessings for us for this year? Okay, it's not because Nick says so. God's word says so. Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for us, for those that fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men. He is storing up blessings, and then he's going to give them to you in the sight of other people. And then they're going to go, oh, you lucky bum. Uh-huh. I'll watch. I mean, unless they're Christians and they love you, okay? But I have a friend. I may have told you this story, but I'll make it real quick. I had a friend. Him and his wife had the same number of kids as Jill and I. We were the same age. We really hit it off well. And his mother bought him one church ticket for a new car. They sold thousands of these in the area, okay? It was a fundraiser for the church. And I don't know what, it doesn't matter how much it cost. She bought one ticket, wrote his name on the back of it. He won. He won a brand new car. So I'm looking at it in the paper, so I drive about 10 miles, whatever it is, and I go up to his office, and I'm just so excited. And I go, oh, this is great. And it's been like a week or two. And then he says, you're the only one that said something nice. And I thought, you wing nuts. Why wouldn't God blessed him, right? He didn't play the lotto. He didn't gamble. He just sat at home, minded his own business. And say something nice. Encourage somebody when they're blessed. God was storing up something for him, and then he gives it to him in the sight of men. Newspaper coverage. And so people should be going, this is so, right? Don't hold back and say, you know, you go to raffles like Whitetails Unlimited. Tony and I go to a lot of these. Whitetails Unlimited, the Elk Foundation. And whenever I miss by one number, come on, guys. You know, if you went, and I'm going, man, if I would have bought one more ticket, I'd have got a gun, you know. But so what? It's a fundraiser. Yeah. But think about it now. God could have a blessing for you in the new year that you don't even know about. And let me know when it happens. I'll be happy to tell you that's great. That is really neat. God never, ever leaves us. People will tell me, I don't feel God's presence. And I said, well, that's because you moved. Because that's what God told me one time when I was going, God, I don't feel your presence. He goes, I haven't moved, Nick. What? You know, so God does not leave us. He does not. Matthew 28:20 says, surely, that's not the first name of a lady, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know what surely means? You can take it to the bank. Okay, it's like a verily. Surely I'm with you. You don't have to worry. I'm there. I'm going to take care of things. I came up with a couple things. I was talking, you know, I was praying about it. And what are some possible things that God might want you or me to do in the new year? Okay, you decided. This isn't a list that you have to go home and say, oh, Pastor Nick said we got to do this. No, I'm just giving you ideas, okay? First line is talk with God about it. Number one is continue to seek him. Go after God. Do it in your prayers. Do it in your Bible studies. Do it in your small groups. Do it. Just do it, do it, do it. You can't lose. Keep going after God. Second, share him. Tell somebody about God. Your witness and your testimony will win people. You'd be amazed. Tell them. Tell them about God. Tell them your story. Don't argue doctrine with them. Just tell them your story. Hey, here's what happened when I gave my life to Jesus. Oh, okay. Tell them. Give them a Bible. We load up our offices with Bibles because people will come in and say, well, I don't have a Bible. You got one now. You know, you got one now. Wednesday night, Pastor Mike tells the kids, you don't have a Bible at home? Go ahead, take one. The rack's in the other room, but take a Bible. Take it home. By the way, read it. Read it. It's not a paperweight. Read it. Number three, have a mission, have a vision, have a goal. Do something. Walk it. Don't talk it. Talk is cheap. Walk it out. Let your fruit get out there. Let people. Don't do something different than what you say. Like, you know what? You shouldn't do that. And then you do it. Oh, bad. That's even bad in child rearing. You don't tell your kid you can't do that. And then you do it. The kids get really mixed up. Well, adults look at you and go, yeah, right. Like I need that. But tell people about your experience. What you do has to match what you say, or your testimony is just going to be of no use at all. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Oh, Nick, what are you talking about? Well, you can commit a sin, or you can have a sin of omission, where you were told to do it and you didn't do it. God's not happy. Oh, well, maybe I misunderstood him. Ask him again. Clarify it. There's things that he wants us to do. We should all be seeking more spiritual growth. We should be growing in our faith, growing in our fruit. Take an inventory. Talk it over with God. We do a lot of temperaments here, and we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. So you lead with your strengths and you work on your weaknesses. God will help you. I mean, my goodness, God took care of drinking, smoking, cussing, what else? I mean, he just washed me right, not all at once. But I just say, oh, Lord, I need help with this. And then he comes to the rescue. He will clean you up when you surrender yourself to him. All right, exercise your faith. Well, that's really easy, isn't it? Yeah. Believe. Believe when it's not happening. Stand firm. I know it's coming. I just know it's coming. Let other people feed off of that faith. I know that God has something for you. When somebody speaks a word over you like that, just grab it and hold it. Oh, good. I'm still working on what my thing is for this new year, but one of you guys wants to give it to me. Come on. You know, in other words, he's got something for me. Too many people have said that there's something coming, and I'm still fishing for it. Maybe I better listen just a little bit better, especially after preaching this message. Huh? You know, God, what is it? Just give it to me plain. I'm getting so confused. All right, last one before I have a little summary here is let your light shine. We teach our little kids that song. Hide your light under a bushel, and what do they all scream? No! I'm going to let it shine. Well, then why don't we let our light shine? Why don't we walk into a room and people go, They know something's different. And then let them ask a question, and then all you do is answer it. I have an example here of standing firm in your belief. Did anybody here watch Chariots of Fire? Gotta go get it. Chariots of Fire, it's a beautiful movie. It's about a British runner named Eric Liddell. He was fast. He was really fast, and he was going to compete in the 1924 Olympics. His famous quote was, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." So they go to the Olympics, and he said, "I will not run on a Sunday. That's God's day." Guess when they scheduled his meet? Yeah, so all the coaches and all the people from the political parties and everybody, they're yelling at him, they're trying to persuade him, and he goes, "I will not compete on a Sunday." So they put him in another race, and they put him in a race where he's not going to do very good, okay? And he won the gold medal. Watch the movie. It's exciting. Sometimes you need to make a stand. And a New Year's resolution is a good one. Don't give way when people start calling you right-wing Bible thumper. What do they call me? But anyways, don't even let it bother you. Just go, "Thank you very much. Thank you very much." Oh, holy roller. Yeah, okay. Holy, yeah, that was it, yeah. I ran home and I told Jill, "Hey, Jill, somebody called me a holy roller today." And she goes, "Isn't that what you and your dad used to call all those people?" "Yes." Doesn't he have a sense of humor? Okay, but anyway. All right. Our last scripture. 2 Timothy 1:6. "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you." Fan it into flame. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I'm going to close here. I have a gift. You have a gift. We all have a gift. Are we using it? Are we going to use it in the new year? That's the question. So in closing, just talk this over with God. Set up your plans. Act on them with all you got. Give it everything you got. And fan the flame of God's gift in you. Then you will feel his pleasure, like Eric Liddell did. And I got one sentence. I don't know if this really sums this up, but I thought it summed it up, is seek God and chart a course for your next steps. That's our assignment. I can't tell you what to do. If God tells me to tell you, I will tell you. But I got a feeling he wants to talk it over personally with each and every one of us. So let's close in prayer then. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for how your word challenges us, Lord. I pray that you would guide and direct each and every one of us to what it is that you have planned for us, Lord. What gift it is that you want us to use to your glory, Lord God. I pray that we see things here, Lord, that will be even more incredible than what we have seen already, Lord God. That you will do things here that will amaze us, Lord God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just take us every step of the way together. In Jesus' name, amen.